All right, welcome to Detroit Lions News Show, Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm here with Neil and Detroit Don. And if you don't know who Detroit Don is, and you haven't been to Ford Field anytime soon, because he was there as they were rocking it out today as the Lions cruised to a victory 20-6. And guys, I'm going to get your opinions. I'm going to get your thoughts on the game. But the first takeaway I have of the game in particular is just the way that they dominated Bijan Robinson from running the ball. Like, we came into this game, we thought that Bijan Robinson was going to run all over the defense. There were some people I didn't subscribe to that factor, but they didn't. They ran for, what, 46 yards, I think.
It was 48.
Yeah, 48. Let's put up. They ran for 44 rushing yards. 44. Their time possession was 27.03. We ran for 115 yards. I don't think we played our best game, but what did you think, Detroit Don?
Bijan was my main concern coming into this, and man, we shut him down. I mean, we stepped up. We made some adjustments from last week, and hey, I couldn't be happier how this turned out.
Neil, what do you think?
What I took from the game is Tracy Walker hasn't missed a step, man. Like. See, he came out there and orchestrated that defense like he was never off the field, man. Like, I like what I seen out of Tracy Walker today.
It was great to see what Tracy Walker was doing because, honestly, guys, like, I think a lot of people forgot about Tracy Walker in a lot of cases. Like, they were like, okay, we got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. We can trade Tracy Walker. And then when Chauncey Gardner-Johnson went down with the injury, people were like, oh, shit, we need someone to step up. And yeah, there's Tracy Walker's there to step up. And I was actually surprised with the Ifeatu Melifonwu too, because no Kirby Joseph, no Chauncey Gardner Johnson. He made a critical pass breakup, I think, with Matt Collins there. So that was interesting.
I've been saying it all week at work about Tracy Walker. He can start on probably most NFL teams. You know, I was not scared about him stepping into that role.
Man, I like that play when he came and made that hit. Knocked dude right out the game. Like, yeah, Tracy Walker, man, dog, man. That's why he's my favorite player, man. Dog.
I love Tracy Walker. I think he had a great game. I was very surprised with the way the Detroit Lions, like, they dominated the Atlanta Falcons because, obviously, you were there, Detroit Don. It wasn't like this quick game where, like, you know, like, this game was never in doubt in my mind. Like, was it in doubt with any of you guys? Like,
I feel like we had control from the start. From the start to the beginning. Like, not only that, like Gibbs showed up, man. Like, started giving the ball inside. Like, he proved to me today that he can run the ball inside. I mean, I always knew he could do it. He did it at Georgia Tech. He did it out of Alabama, man. I think he proved to the coaching staff that he can put the ball inside and count them.
What do you think, Detroit Don?
Hey, how about number 32 today? I mean, he had a hell of a game today.
Oh, it's funny you mention it because since 1994, Lions defensive back Brian Branch is the NFL's only defensive back to produce a game with 10 plus tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 pass breakups. That's amazing, and that just shows you exactly what. Like, I think everyone was kind of mesmerized. Why the hell did we draft a running back at 12? But when you think about it, you drafted Brian Branch in the second round, which the Packers gave him up for absolutely nothing because that was their pick that they traded us. And then you got Sam LaPorta, another guy, another draft pick, showing out for the Detroit Lions. I'm interested to hear what you guys are thinking about this is a great day because obviously we have 4 days before the next game with the Green Bay Packers and Lambeau. And I think that we all have our thoughts on that, but what's your thoughts, Tyler?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, Brian Branch, from what you guys are saying, he looks like our best defensive player right now. And it's close with a couple guys, but he looks like he's top three on our defense already, which is great. Doesn't surprise me. If Tracy Walker, this guy is a 3-year starter on our team already. It wasn't really that surprising to me. I know Tracy Walker's a dog. He hits hard. And he was excited and eager because I think people kind of started doubting him because signed Gardner Johnson, and kind of people just thought he was forgotten about. He played a good game. He played a great game. You know, it's finally good to see him produce or do something since we drafted him a few years ago. So it's nice to see that. I just saw a comment. What do you think about St. Brown playing through the injury? I mean, he's a tough dude, man. If you know his background and you know his pops and you know his story, man, he is a tough-ass dude. I didn't expect any less. That dude is a dog. But, I mean, he looked as great as always. Just an overall good team win. We kept our foot on the gas. We got 6 sacks, I believe, which is awesome. I mean, we needed that big time. I think Aaron Glenn finally got his head out of his ass and decided to do some stunts and actually blitz the passer a little bit. And, we were in control the whole way. I mean, I was never really worried. Even after that pick, I mean, we had a good 4-down stop there on the other end. Defense played great. I mean, game ball goes to the defense, man, Brian Branch specifically. But, we balled out. I mean, it was good to see. It was good to see Aaron Glenn actually not fold under the pressure and actually, like, go to the lab, scheme some shit up, and, come out here swinging. It was good to see.
I had no problem with Aaron Glenn. I thought he was going to scheme something together because if you watched last year against Buffalo, he did a pretty damn good job with Will Harris as a slot cornerback, okay? And then you went into this year with Kansas City. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes didn't have Travis Kelce. He didn't have those guys. It's still Patrick Mahomes. They did a pretty damn good job. They were getting pressure. I think they were 34 pressures, which was the fifth in the most.
Hey, whenever we play Seahawks, we got to send that dude on a week vacation. Just take a week off, man. Just go home and relax.
No, that's true. I don't know what it is with the Seahawks. They got our number, but it's great to get the win this week because you know what's happening this week on Thursday. You're gonna go and you're gonna play Green Bay in Green Bay, which is always a high level game for every one of us. But it's gonna be for the whole nation to enjoy. And you're hoping because if you watch Green Bay, they do have a good defense, but ultimately I think that they're beatable, no doubt about it. What do you guys think?
One thing with Green Bay you got to watch with Green Bay is I was watching them earlier too. They like to throw the deep ball, man. And I feel like our safeties and our corners need to be alert to that because they threw a lot of deep balls today. So, like, their defense is solid, but since Jones been hurt, their run game been shut down, and he loves a mobile quarterback. So that's enough. And we contain him really today, but he ain't really trying to do no mobility out of the side of the pocket, though. We got to watch for his mobility. I think we can go into Green Bay and take this win in Green Bay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting the way that they go out there. I mean, I think it's one of the more interesting things of the game today was this. It was this rookie connection. The Lions had a rookie. This is from the Detroit Lions PR. Had a rookie rush for 80 plus yards. That's Jahmyr Gibbs. A rookie 80 plus receiving yards. Sam LaPorta in the same game. The last time they did this was on December 17th, 1989, with running back Barry Sanders, who just got his statue unveiled. And Jason Phillips logging 115 yards receiving. Look, anytime you can be in Barry Sanders' like era, that's great for anybody. But I really want to get your guys' opinions on like Sam LaPorta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch. I think that like what the Lions did is they really caught something that I think that they're gonna really. This is gonna be a draft that you look back in years and you're going to be like, wow, that was like the franchise changing draft, in my opinion.
I just want to kick this off by saying, I don't think we know how to, or have unlocked the way that we need to use Brian or not Brian Branch. Jahmyr Gibbs. We don't know. Like, we're not using him right, bro. They're running. I saw so many runs today where it's like, they wanted to run kind of like show them that we could run between the tackles, run them up the guts. And then week before that, it was like, oh, we only need to use them on gadget plays and end arounds and motions and pitch plays. It's like, I don't know. I feel like Ben Johnson has to do a better job of like learning his skill set and getting him involved in things that make it easier for him, because it just seems like it's like an odd puzzle piece that they're trying to force right now, and it just doesn't seem natural and doesn't seem right. And I know he's young. I know he's a rookie, and I know it's going to take time. I'm not dogging on him. I think he's going to be a good player. He's fast. He's quick. He busts his ass, but I just think that they've got to get up to speed, the coaching staff, and figure out the best ways to utilize and use him, because it almost seems right now like they're just trying to, like today, just kind of like force feed him the ball no matter what. It didn't seem like they were playing to his strengths per se with the play calling. That's just how it looked to me. I could be wrong.
I also feel like this Detroit, the same way. Go ahead.
You go on. Go, Neil.
Oh, I feel like the same way with J-Mo. When J-Mo came back in the last couple of games, they felt like they didn't know how to use him. They was misplacing him and put him in the wrong positions. Like, they got to figure out what to do with these key players that they picked up in the draft and utilize them in offense the way for they could succeed in this team for they to succeed. That's all I wanted to say.
Detroit Don, what you think?
Well, going back to the original what you had asked, my mindset was I really like how our rookies and our offseason acquisitions, they're really contributing to everything. And they're making their face known there. I love it. I don't know another year since I've been a Lions fan that we've had this much impact with incoming players as we did this year. So I'm really excited about that part of it.
And you've had season tickets for a long time, so you of all people would know exactly what it's been about. What Tyler and Neil are bringing up about how to use Jahmyr Gibbs, I think a lot of people are trying to figure this out. Like, how do you use Jahmyr Gibbs? Because he's a unique player, the way that he can get open, the way that he runs, the way that he gets out. I don't think that, like, it's this easy thing. Like, you're going to have to learn what he's about. You're going to have to learn his tendencies. And honestly, the injury to David Montgomery absolutely hurts Jahmyr Gibbs, because what you use David Montgomery for is to just bulldoze between the middle of the tackles. When you have to use Jahmyr Gibbs to go between the tackles, go outside the tackles, catch pass out of the backfield. I mean, Zonovan Knight did a pretty damn good job. I thought he did a pretty damn good job. But overall, like, Jahmyr Gibbs was never drafted to be like this, like, all bell cow back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, and let's all be honest. I mean, I guarantee the Lions aren't showing their whole pocketbook here. You know, we're week three. Get ready. Buckle up, guys, because we're going to see some fantastic stuff in the coming weeks.
When you guys brought up J-Mo too, like, I'm excited because I want, I'm excited for this offense to be more well-rounded and actually, you know, be unpredictable. It seems like, like last week's numbers, it was like we had one of the last, we had like one of the least percentage of like play action and stuff. And I always thought that was really a strong suit of ours last season, was running out of the, running the play action plays and running out of, and setting that up. And, you know, it seems like we did that a lot more this week in week three. And that's why, like, we had a lot of those deep shots with Khalif Raymond and Sam Laporta. I mean, those guys were seriously like wide open, man. And so, you know, I do see that kind of stuff coming around, you know, and I just, you know, the way I'm looking at it is when we get this complete team, we get everybody, like, it's probably going to take a little while for it to gel, but once they figure it out, once they click, and once they realize what they have, I mean, we have, like, we could potentially be one of the fastest teams in the league. And the crazy thing, and this is just really just a statement or a comment, the crazy thing about watching Laporta is this dude gets like elite separation. Like, I always tell Joe, like, this is what we always prayed, hoped, and dreamed that Hockenson would be. We took him in the top 10. Like, we wanted this so bad, dude. But then we got him at like 38 or whatever. 34. And the dude is just, 34. And the dude is just straight up balling. He is always open, it seems. And the dude is a yak monster. He's just, I'm super happy with Laporta. Like I said, I think he's what we hoped that Hockenson would be. And he's doing great.
He ain't scared to block either. It seemed like Hockenson only blocked it when he wanted to block. Laporta put his head down, and he gonna get down there and put it. That's why I call him Laporta Party, because he be making these DBs and linebackers like just in a can of dookie. Like, Laporta is solid, man, and we got something good in the draft when we picked him up, man. Laporta Party, that's my dude.
That's my fantasy name, bro. My fantasy team name. my tight starting tight end, man. He's been going off. He's been doing well for me.
Yeah, Sam Laporta has been doing a pretty damn good job. I'm Detroit Don, you have a comment?
What's that?
You had a comment on Sam Laporta?
Oh, no, he's a stud. I mean, we were talking about it. We had that same conversation at halftime out in the smoking lounge at Ford Field there. We were like, you know, man, I was a Hockenson guy. But Sam Laporta goes way over what Hockenson was. That guy is a stud. Absolutely. And he does find his ways. He gets out and he open just like, you know, St. Brown does. And this guy can block. Yeah, this guy's the real deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people with Sam Laporta, the one thing that they kind of miss on Sam Laporta is when he was at Iowa with Spencer Petras, who was his quarterback, he didn't have a good quarterback at all. Like, if he had a quarterback like, let's say, like a Luke Musgrove at Oregon State, or if he had a quarterback like Dalton Kincaid had with Cameron Rising, I think he'd be a top 10 tight end, to be honest. But because his quarterback play was so bad at Iowa, it kind of pushed him down the draft order, and it helped out the Detroit Lions, because I think a lot of people, this is what they miss about the Jahmyr Gibbs trade back, right? Not only did you get Jahmyr Gibbs, but you got Sam Laporta in the same trade. So you traded six, so you got Sam Laporta, you got Jahmyr Gibbs. I got to think that everyone's happy with that right now, because you look at what Sam Laporta's doing, you haven't even reached the potential of what Jahmyr Gibbs can do too.
You're looking at something rare that could happen, that Sam Laporta could end the season as a top like five tight end as his rookie year. Like, usually tight ends take a few years to develop. They take some time to acclimate and get accustomed to, you know, schemes and playbooks and blocking. And this dude, like, I mean, obviously it's really early, but I mean, looking at his first three weeks of production, I mean, he's got like 19 catches through 3 weeks. And he is averaging like just shy of 5 yards per route in separation, which is literally like Tyreek Hill numbers. I mean, it's insane. This guy is dominating linebackers and coverage safeties. This guy is literally could end the season as a top five, top three tight end his rookie year. And that is really like, that's difficult to do, man. So that's huge. I don't think everyone realizes that, like, you know, a lot of these superstars, man, you're talking like you didn't see these numbers in these guys like Kelce and Andrews and Kittle until like year three, year four. So this, yeah, to see this in your first three games is like, holy shit, you know.
They had him lined up at wide receiver. I mean, he was lined up in wide receiver. He was same thing he was doing to the linebackers and safeties. He was doing to the corners, and he was being productive with it. Like, he all around tight end, and that's big because them first six games, while J-Mo was out and everything else like that, and Marvin Jones ain't been really doing nothing. He's been really stepping up. Like, Laporta, he'll be something.
I got a question for you guys. When J-Mo gets back, are you like, I want to hear your opinions on this, because we kind of bullshit about this a little bit before, but like, when J-Mo comes back, like, do you see a way that, like, because he's obviously, we draft him in the top 15. He's, you know, he was a first round guy. He's super fast. He's got pretty good route running. Like, is this the guy that can acclimate and just be your true number one and get, you know, 10 to 12 targets a game? Or are they going to just continually use him more of like a gadget guy? Like, I guess I'm just kind of curious of what you see him being, because, you know, I'm kind of scared that if he doesn't blow up and have these crazy wide receiver one numbers that everyone's going to be screaming bust. But he's been injured and he's been suspended. So we're going to kind of have to treat this like his rookie year all over again, you know, especially only missing the first six games. So I'm just curious if you think this is a guy that's going to be able to get heavy volume and get those 10 to 12, 10 to, you know, 10 to 15 targets a game, or are you going to see him more of like a gadget utility player?
If you look at it game-wise and games played, it's still his rookie year. So, and then I think him will be on the opposite side of Craig Reynolds, and they're going to have St. Brown, and that's going to open up the whole field, plus Laporta in the tight end and Gibbs coming out the back. Goff going to have so many wide open choices that it should all work, man. I think
it will. Well, I wonder if this offense is going to be able to sustain feeding a guy like that, like I said, that many like targets a game, or is it going to be more of just still continue to spread this ball around? Because I think we draft him for a guy that we wanted to, you know, put in that wide receiver one spot and kind of like, you know, feed him the ball and get the ball in his hand. So I'm just hoping that, you know, because last year when we saw him, I mean, I know he was getting up to speed coming off that injury. But, you know, I want to see them try to have a game where, you know, he's playing 50, 60, 70 snaps and he's getting 10, 11, 12, 13 targets. I want to see what he does with it, man. I think it'll be interesting and fun, because the most we've seen him play in a game is like 12 snaps. And I think that was the most he's ever had in the game.
But he's not a demanding receiver like Diggs is in Buffalo. He, like, he never, anywhere he played at, he's not out there crying when he's not getting the ball or anything. Right. It's just when he's going to get his opportunity, he's going to make clinch of his offer. It's him not him dropping the ball and everything else like that. I think that's just rookie mistake, but that's not going to be a problem when he gets back. I guarantee it. Like, his offense is going to flow. Like, no problem. Can't hear you, bro.
Hey, yeah, I'm in JMO's corner, but the first thing he's got to do is catching the ball.
Yeah.
And what I've seen in training camp and a couple times last year, I mean, he's got to catch that damn ball. He's got a lot of speed and everything, but you got to catch that ball before you have that speed too, you know. So let's catch that ball, and then like I said, I'm in JMO's corner. I don't care about all this off-field stuff and all this stuff, whatever. You know, he's a young kid. Catch the ball. Let's go from there.
You need to work with St. Brown. Just be on the
absolutely.
Jug
absolutely.
Joe, I mean, do you think he's got the
training camp, so
your top target guy?
I think Jameson Williams. I think what you could say Jameson Williams is going to be is like, okay, I don't think this Lions offense is ever going to be an offense where you're going to have a guy that's going to get like predominantly the most catches, because if we circle back to what we were accustomed to with the Calvin Johnson era, we had a guy in Calvin Johnson who would catch 100, 200 balls a year, and the offense would kind of get stagnant when that one guy couldn't be the key guy. I think what you want to, what Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson are trying to do is, the reason that they drafted Sam LaPorta, the reason they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, the reason that they got those guys is because they're trying to build where if they take one weapon away, you can use this weapon, or you can go and use Jahmyr Gibbs out of the backfield, or you can use Sam LaPorta up the middle of the field. Like, I think that Jameson Williams is going to be a guy that's going to help you obviously stretch the field. That's what you're hoping for. But you look at what Khalif Raymond did today. Listen, that's all I want from Jameson Williams. Like, if he could stretch the field with his speed, fine. But with Troy Dyan said about him catching the ball, that's the major issue, because if you don't catch the ball, it don't freaking matter about how fast you are.
My thing is, if you look at these three games, each game, Goff has had a different favorite target he went to. The first game was Josh Reynolds. Second game was St. Brown. And this game was LaPorta. Like, he's not just targeting one person. He's spreading the ball around. And that's what Goff is capable of doing. That's why I think everybody's going to be fine.
Good point on that, because if we remember the Stafford days, you know, Stafford relied on one guy a lot of times, you know. And when Joe is, you know, when Stafford was out of that lineup, Stafford would focus on, like, he would spread the ball around, you know. You don't have that safety blanket, you know. It's nice not having just a safety blanket when you can spread that ball around, you know.
Okay. Well, I think it makes Amon-Ra even more impressive, because like, teams know he's our like main target, and that guy still just cooks, and he is a middle field technician, bro. He is always finding a way to be open, and he's not the fastest guy, he's not the strongest, but man, he is crispier than
he's in the spot, bro.
That dude is crisp.
Yeah, he's solid.
And that's where he worked best at, is in the slot. So when J-Mo come back, he's going to be on the outside. You have Reynolds on the other outside. St. Brown in the slot. Porter on tight end. Like, Goff got options. Like he got multiple girlfriends. Which one he going to go home with tonight?
I like the way the offense is looking so far without J-Mo. Like, only a couple more weeks of this without him. If we can roll into Baltimore at 4-2, like, that's just money, you know. That's extra icing on the cake, man, when J-Mo comes back. So you know, not that he's like some like franchise savior, I mean, you can't put that pressure on the kid, he's still, you know, has to get a full game under his belt. But you know, I think a lot of the people, because we lost Chark in that outside, even though he was hurt a lot, you lose that outside threat, and then you don't have J-Mo, and we're like, okay, shit, we're gonna have to like find a way to like tug along, like, you know, slowly but surely chug along until we get J-Mo back. But hey, I mean, like I said, if we can get to 4-2 or 5-1 without him being in the lineup, you start adding that game-breaking speed in there, that's just going to be the icing on the cake, baby.
And another person I think we need to add in there a little bit more is Green. Like, Green got that getaway speed, and he's showing during preseason he can do it. Like, Marvin Jones ain't been doing that. I mean, yeah, like, I mean, he's a locker room guy. I guess they brought him back for. But
well, that's the crazy thing is the guys that are getting the attention and the targets are freaking Laporta and Amon-Ra. And like, yeah. I mean, outside of that, you're not really getting no one's getting a huge bulk of targets. So it's like, and Khalif Raymond today out of nowhere just like decided. I mean, and by the way, I know Joe knows this. I haven't got a chance to like chop it up with you guys much, but I know Joe has he's brought up that graph. Khalif Raymond is like heavily underrated with his route running. He gets a crazy separation and he's crazy fast. And he's actually like when you put it on like the grass for receivers, he's actually considered to be like elite at route running and elite speed. So separation is crazy. Yeah, dude, he's like in the top echelon. He's up there with like Tyreek Hill and them, like with his separation and like his yards after catch and stuff. He's a dog. So it's funny to see how we're able to scheme up these guys who are like some people would think they're throwaways or they're super, you know, they're just average. But I think you got something in a couple of these guys, and I think they know it too. And this seems like the culture that brings that out, you know. So, I always talked about like, well, we need that other guy on the opposite end. Let's go get Mike Evans. Let's go get Keenan Allen. Let's go trade for somebody we can really get on that X receiver, that big guy on the side of the field to stretch it. But don't fix what's not broken, man. If you can spread the ball out around and you can move the ball down the field and you know what you got, then, hey, I mean, let's keep it going.
A play with me that stuck with me was when Khalif Raymond was playing the Seahawks on that the flea flicker. When he came across, he was pointing at the dude like he was saying, like, this the guy I got to block. It's like he do the little things. And the dude, that's why they crashed down and he just flew right past him. Like, he just do the little things right, man. Like, set up himself, man. What he lack in size, man, he's smart in the head.
He's smart, yeah.
Yeah, he does the things that he know he has to do in order to get open. You feel me? And once he do that, like, it's half of the game is mental too. It's not just physical too. So, like, so yeah, Khalif, that's why they gave him that contract extension. They knew what he was doing. Yeah. He probably showed him that. Like,
yeah. So a lot of the people are talking about Marvin Jones is finished case. I don't think that's the case. I think that Jared Goff just needs to get him. They need to get a kind of a rapport. And you're going to need Marvin Jones at some point in the year. I know a lot of people think that you don't need Marvin Jones right now, but you are going to need Marvin Jones at some point in the year because, I mean, we already see Amon-Ra get injured. We already see guys like that get injured. So you're going to need those guys moving forward. Let's get to some of the comments that people have. Christopher Wolf, he says, Laporta and Branch are beasts out of the gate. Gibbs and Campbell are going to develop before the year is out. Offensive lineman is a problem developing. I don't think that's the case. And Jameson better hit the ground running or it'll be an issue as well. As far as the D-line goes, we need a guy that can generate a pass rush in his own to apply constant pressure. I want to single out that comment just in particular because we have a defense right now. So this was before the game. If you guys followed my game preview, I had this on the thing. This is what to make of this stat. So today they had like what 7 sacks or whatever. Today they had so this was before the game. They had 34 pressures, which is 5th best in the NFL, but they had the worst sack percentage in the NFL. What's the difference? The difference is when you play a quarterback like Desmond Ridder, when you play a quarterback like you're going to play with Bryce Young or Andy Dalton perhaps or Baker Mayfield down the line, like the guys that you play in Patrick Mahomes and Geno Smith. I know a lot of people love Patrick Mahomes, but they know what he's about. Geno Smith, as much as people want to crap on him, he's good in the pocket. He knows how to step up. He knows how to make the right throws.
He's experienced.
He's experienced. And
serviceable. Like, he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah. So when you have a guy like that, like that's why your sacks are down. Like you just have to. You're a product of the two teams that you played out of the gate. Now, if you had a guy, if you were like the Chiefs and you were playing Justin Fields right now, you probably have 15 sacks. But if you, but I still can't believe the Bears are getting killed 41-3. America's game of the week, guys.
What we need to do? I don't know what the hell the deal is. I am surprised at the low percentage of target or of snaps that Jack Campbell's getting because every time he's out there, he looks like a beast, dude. He looks like a
sack today.
I mean, I know Derek Barnes is playing really well, and Anzalone's been playing pretty good as well. But they got to find a way to get Campbell on the field on the field more because I feel like he's not playing enough snaps for his talent level, and he's another rookie that can contribute right away and contribute a lot. Because like, dude, I swear every time he's out there, he's making a play, and he hasn't really made too many mistakes, really. So I hope they find a way to get him more involved. And so that was my comment on Jack Campbell. And, you know, you know, I don't know what you, I don't know what you guys think about that.
You know a way we can get Jack Campbell involved? And I know everybody, the organization, everybody loves Alexander Lonely, but take him out on third down when you know it's going to be a pass. We drafted the best coverage linebacker in the draft. Put him on third down and let him cover in linebacker. Like, there's no reason why Alex Anzalone should be on third down. He misses a lot of tackles. I mean, I love Alex Anzalone, but he misses a lot of tackles. And it seems like every third down, he's giving up a play or he's not making a play where they continue getting first downs and continue to drive. Like, we need to have him out there. Like, the only way he's going to get experience is if you put him out there. Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah. They just seem like they slowly picking our rookies along, but everybody else let their rookies go out there and play. Put them in the game. Let them play. That's what y'all drafted them so high for.
It seems like Detroit as a whole does that a lot. Like, every other place is like, oh, we drafted this rookie in the top 20. Let's, yeah, go out there and do your thing. And Detroit's like, hold on. No. We have to slowly but surely let them earn their way. It's like, man, I don't know what the hell it is about. The Pistons do the same stuff. Dwayne Casey would not let our rookies, like, out there to save his life, man. And like, and, you know, and the Quinn Trisha era before the Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell era, same thing, man. Wouldn't let them get out there. And so, like, I don't know what the deal is. It seems like a common theme with Detroit sports, but get your damn rookies out there and let them learn and let them play to their strengths. Like I said, Jack Campbell needs to be out there more, man. I mean, and Derek Barnes, hats off to Derek Barnes. I'm going to throw this out on the live so everyone can hear this. Man, that dude, it turned it around, bro. He is playing very, very well.
You got to resign.
We need to get our rookies out there contributing early and often, man. Because you see how it works on the offensive side of the ball. Laporta is looking like a top five tight end, and this is his third game in the NFL. Like, let these guys go out there and eat and find their way and, like, unleash these guys.
Another shout out I'd like to give out to is the offensive line. Even with all the injuries and everything else, it seems like everybody they plug in right out there. There's no. I mean, we haven't been giving up that many sacks. Goff, look how much pressure. I mean, pressure Goff got today. Not much. He was back there in the park. In that pocket, just picking the defense apart. Shout out to the offensive line, man.
Well, I didn't think the offensive line was that great. I thought that they protected Goff for the most part good with the way that they had injuries on the offensive line. But going back to what Tyler was saying about slow playing the rookie, so Neil said it and Tyler said it. I'm interested to hear Detroit Don's opinion too. But I can give you my personal experience. So I once interviewed for the LA Rams job for a scouting position for the LA Rams. Okay. So Brad Holmes came from the LA Rams franchise. One of the things that the LA Rams totally believe in to a T is that if a player is not 100% ready to play, they don't put him out there. Period. End of story. No matter how good they think the guy could potentially be, they never put him out there at that point in time because there's two things that could happen. You could totally wreck the kid's confidence. And then the second thing is you're not allowing him to grow at the things that he needs to grow at. You had mentioned Detroit sports. You didn't mention the Detroit Red Wings because I think that's a team that you really need to mention. When the Detroit Red Wings are rolling like they are, like they're going into this season, they're going to have a good year, I think, potentially. They have slow played their rookies too because the one thing you don't want to do with rookies is you don't want to throw them into a situation that they don't understand, okay? And being a middle linebacker, having Alex Anzalone, having Derek Barnes as your linebacker, and then slow playing Jack Campbell, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. That shows you that you've had growth in your franchise because if you're allowing a rookie to play when he's not ready, that's when you run into issues. If you're throwing rookies out there, we know Sam Laporta is ready, okay? We know Brian Branch is ready. We just don't know if Jack Campbell is totally ready. And a lot of people are looking at Brian Branch. I mean, Broderick Martin is another person that hasn't gotten into a game. They're still playing him too.
It's just hard because how are you ever going to know if these guys are ready if you don't give them an opportunity? Like, Broderick Martin being a healthy scratch the first 3 weeks, it's like, dude, at least get the guy out there for a few plays, see what he looks like. I mean,
Did you know that James Houston was going to be a player? Because that's the same thing that they did last year. So you guys got
it. And they slow rolled him this year. They had him on special teams and not letting him play what he wanted to play. So they still slow rolled him this year, though.
They're playing him on special teams because that's what is expected of a backup player. You know, you got
best pass rusher though. He's the best pass rusher on our team.
Okay, you keep saying that, but Nick Bosa was playing on special teams for the Chargers. I know Staley is kind of an idiot, but same thing. Like, Nick Bosa is a – he's a top 10 pass rusher.
I just – I don't know, man. It just, like – it seems like we're getting there, and I really like this regime, and it just seems like there are certain things where it's like, how come we do this shit that no one else does? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Put your best guys out there. Let them grow. Let them learn. And like I said, I am confused. We had such shit interior rush, and we still refuse to try, like, Isaiah Bugs or Broderick Martin at all.
Isaiah Bugs wasn't in the game today.
Yeah, he was in the game today.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, the first – I'm talking, like, the first 2 weeks he was inactive. He was a healthy scratch the first two games.
That was a personal reason why he wasn't in the game.
But it's just, like I don't know, man. It's, like, there's just something still about it where it's, like – it's always – Detroit, it always seems like we're, like, the city of, like, oh, we're almost there. We're going to get these guys ready. Okay, well, when's the time to unleash them? Let them learn. Let them make mistakes. Let them do it. Like, it's sometimes – it gets frustrating sometimes. Like – I mean, for those first 2 weeks, I mean, you got these guys you're drafting in the top 20, and they're, you know, Jack Campbell's playing 28% of your defensive snaps the first 2 weeks. And then you got Gibbs, who's getting like 6 touches a game the first couple weeks. It's like, I get they're rookies and they're young, but hey, there's some guys across the way, Jalen Carter, Bijan Robinson, those guys are rookies too. And they look pretty damn good and they look pretty damn ready.
Hey, our running back outperformed Robertson today. So shout out to Gibbs for that.
Yeah, looked that good today.
Yeah, exactly. So look at this. This is a Gibbs versus Robinson comparison. 10 carries for Robinson, 33 yards. He was 3.3 yards per carry. You had Gibbs, who was 17 carries, 80 yards. He was 4.7 yards per carry.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I want to see the comparison at some point that you got to do for me for the first few weeks of this year and last year, because our run defense, someone must have figured something out, because our run defense was looking like a million times better than we started out last year. It's insane. Oh. Our run defense looks elite.
I'll definitely do the research on that, because I do think the run defense is a lot better this year. Got better in the later part of the year, but obviously that Carolina game kind of skewed things. But when you look at it, like, You and Neil are talking about the Jack Campbell not playing. Well, when your defense is doing this, it doesn't matter who you play, because the Lions defense today had 7 sacks, 7 pass breakups, 8 quarterback hits, 11 tackles for loss, no TDs allowed. Falcons held up 44 rushing yards, and no run was longer than 11 yards. When you came into the game today, did you actually think that they were going to do all that? I can tell you that they're like, just the way that I was feeling, because I was talking to a lot of people that were Lions fans. When you talk to Lions fans, some of them were kind of like doom and gloom, like, oh my God, we're about to get beat by the Falcons. I was like, no, they're not. Like, they're not. Like, they're just not. They're going to control the game. They're going to control what they do. But I'm interested to hear what Detroit Don thinks. What do you think, Detroit Don?
I think there was hesitation at tailgate anyways about what we were going to do. To bounce back, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions, you know, and hey, listen, all these guys, they're contributing. I agree. We're not, these guys, these young players that aren't playing or they're slow rolling them. You know what? We're getting this job done. And that shows a problem that we haven't had in Detroit in a lot of years. We got some depth, and, when we've got that depth and we can slow roll these guys into play, these younger guys, hey, let's do that, you know, because we're going to need them along the way. You know, you see injuries happen, and, man, I like what we're – like what I'm seeing right now.
Neil, you got the floor.
What was your question?
You got the floor. What you think?
About what? What was your question?
Oh, we were talking about the defense and the hesitation that the Lions were going to win.
Yeah, it's like even when I was downtown Detroit Friday and Saturday, and I was interviewing Atlanta Falcons fans and Detroit Lions fans, and everybody was worried about about Robinson and how we can't stop the run and everything like that. And, you know, I was not expecting us to come in there and stop the run like that. Like, but for the last 2 weeks, if you look at it, it's been shown that they can do it. So, like, I shouldn't have expected it, but, like, for them to come in with a running back like that and they shut him down, like, our defense is a 10. Like, that inside run defense is good. I know we just keep it going with our secondary like this, man, I feel like we're going to be dangerous, man. I really do.
Yeah, I think that, like, the only thing that's, like, kind of odd to me is that, like, I don't know. I think that we've seen the scenario where it worked out where we've done those things, too, with those with these rookies and young guys. Like, James Houston and Alex James Houston and Malcolm Rodriguez, they were, like, forced into play last year, ended up playing really well. So, like, why couldn't some other players replicate that? You know what I mean? So, I just think that, like, you have to give some of these guys an opportunity to shine because there can be some really good come out of it. And it's strange how, like, they had such good years. You know, like, Malcolm Rodriguez led all rookies in tackle for loss. And James Houston had, like, 8 sacks in 7 games. And then to start the year, they were, like, kind of, like, shoved way down the depth chart again. So, like, it just was kind of confusing to me. Like, why not ride off the momentum of those guys unless you really think that it was just a fluke or they got lucky? Because I think you got to let some of these guys just play and figure it out, man, because we saw it last year. Like, I think those guys really, really excelled.
Another reason why I think that was happening because look at the talent that we brought in. Like, it was the level of competition that we brought in. And obviously, they seen something during training camp just to say, hey, like, their role is going to be cut down because we got somebody that can not only do what they do, but do a little more. So that's why I think they playing time is cut down. You got to think the NFL is a show me now. What can you do for me now? Not what you did for me. So all that last year stuff don't matter. It's what you do this year.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, what you guys keep saying about starting the best players, you know, like Detroit Don said, like, we've never been in the position where we don't have to start a rookie. You know, there's a lot of teams throughout the NFL where they have to start a rookie. And for a long time, the Detroit Lions were one of those teams that had to start a rookie and he wasn't ready to play. So if a rookie's not ready to play and you're allowed and you're putting Alex Anzalone in, okay, or you're putting Derek Barnes in, or you're putting Charles Harris in, or you're putting Isaiah Bugs in over, you know, Broderick Martin, you know, that's a good thing to have. Like, it's not a bad thing to start the guys that you think that could help you win and then slow play these rookies along because, look, we see it all over the NFL. Like, yeah, there's rookies that can come out and perform at high levels, like Sam LaPorta, like Brian Branch. There's also rookies that they get out there and they just look totally lost. And the last thing that you want to do as an organization, as Dan Campbell or Brad Holmes, you don't want to put your rookie out there and let him just get destroyed by his confidence. Like, that's the number one thing that I look at with this group.
I got a question. And my dude Scott said this on my last podcast. Do you think the Lions organization played favoritism to certain players? Like, they put other players quicker in the doghouse than they do the players that they brought in?
No, I don't think that they're playing favorites, to be honest. I think what you're doing is, okay, so there's a reason Isaiah Bugs didn't play for the first two games. I'm not going to get into it because
I'm not a rumor type guy.
Baby and everything else like that. Yeah, but like, I think the Lions coaching staff, they really value you going out to do your best work, okay? Like, I think, like, them not starting James Houston for the first, what, 6-7 games last year, I think that was to make, you know, James Houston get better as a total overall player. And when he got in, he showed out. Now, if they do that to Jack Campbell or they do that to Broderick Martin and Broderick Martin shows out, it shows you exactly what they're doing. Like, their process that they've showed throughout their whole entire development of these rookies, going back to the first year of Brad Helms, like, it's proven. Like, they have proven themselves that they can get the most out of the rookies. A guy like Malcolm Rodriguez, you had to rely on last year because he was one of your only predominantly linebackers. Now you got Anzalone, now you got Derek Barnes, and then you got Brian Branch, who he pretty much plays like a rookie. He pretty much plays like a linebacker. What do you think, Detroit Down?
About
them studying along the rookies. I know you're in the same agreement with me.
Yeah, no, I'm like, we're just in that, like I just said, we're in that, Lions are in that position where we've got depth now, and there's no reason to rush people along. Look, listen, we cut some good players in the at the end of training camp. You know, they can go and play with other NFL teams. And, you know, going back to Tracy Walker, I mean, like I said, all week long, everybody at work is this and that, worried about all these injuries. And Tracy Walker can play on any other team, you know, as a starter. Oh. And, you know, I have no problem. We're in a good position. Detroit's in a good position right now with that.
That's what I'm trying to say, Neil. Like, I know you want to play – like, do you think that – like, I think a lot of people think that they want to play favorites or whatever. Like, they're playing favorites or whatever. But I don't think that. I think that they're just putting their players in the best position to succeed. And like we see with Brian Branch, like we see with Sam Laporta, like we see with Jahmyr Gibbs, who's been pressed into duty because Dave Montgomery got hurt. I think that's exactly what they're doing. And you've seen it with James Houston last year. So I think that this coaching staff is – they've earned a lot of trust in me as a development staff, because even like Jim Caldwell, okay, the Lions had a great record with Jim Caldwell. There was times where I didn't see the development that I really wanted. And that was more Mayhew or Bob Quinn, but I didn't see the development that I wanted. With Brad Holmes, with Dan Campbell, they are developing rookies at a good pace. They're not throwing them into duty. They're not saying, oh, we got to play this guy. They're kind of like, let's get him all ready to go. And when he's ready to go, that's when we'll throw him out.
I'm not just saying, like, just throw him out there into the fire. I'm just saying, like, you know that, and we know that Campbell is a better coverage linebacker than Alex Anzalone. So during third down and long, take Alex Anzalone out and put Campbell in. I'm just saying, like, you know there's certain situations where players do one thing, a certain thing better than another player. So why not put him in that better situation? Like, you know James Houston can't pass coverage. So why have him pass coverage when you know he's a better pass rusher? It's just like certain things. Like, I believe in Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell too. Like, and we are deeper than we have ever been. Like, and that's something as Lions fans, we got to get used to, because, like, we're not used to that at all. But I just feel like there's certain situations we should put players in when you know. That's like if I know that you are a better, I don't know, lumberman than me, why not put you doing lumber and me doing wiring if I'm doing a house? I just
I agree with that.
Well, and just like moving on to different like topic or whatever, to like figuring some other stuff out. Like, something I noticed today was like, dude, I don't know if it's just necessarily Cam Sutton or what the deal is, but like our secondary and our coverage is looking much nicer, and I'm actually really excited about getting Emmanuel Mosley on this team. And you know, if we get like one more corner that's like serviceable, whether it be through the draft next year or through free agency, like, we've got our secondary locked up pretty good, man. Especially if we're able to get like CJ back on a cheap deal. So
yeah,
my comment to you guys would be, for one, seeing how we play without him, it was the Falcons. They're weak offensively. I mean, Desmond Ridder's not very good. But I'm very much open to getting Gardner Johnson back on a team friendly deal if he'll have one.
All right, you cut out. What he's saying about Chauncey Gardner Johnson though, and like, would you just re-sign him? I think at this point in time, like, you just gotta play it out kind of way, because like, you still got Kirby Joseph, you still got Tracy Walker. Brian Branch, I think he plays more of the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson role. So I think that's what you got to look at when you get there. And I thought Jacobs – I don't know about you guys, but I thought Jerry Jacobs, a great bounce-back game for him. I know he had a bad week against Seattle, but he had a hell of a bounce-back game against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, he had that pass interference, which I really didn't think was a pass interference, because I thought it was a little bit chintzy.
The other dude got pulled, yeah.
Yeah, I also thought that flag on Brian Branch, that was kind of a chintzy ass flag, because Bijan Robinson put his helmet into Brian Branch. So I don't know how you.
Yes.
So I don't know how you call that a personal foul. I was kind of flabbergasted about that, but this reffing crew today, it seemed like they threw a lot of flags for just not much. Like, I thought that there was a lot of flags that could have been, you know, tucked away. I mean, we obviously seen Seattle get away with a couple holding penalties, but you know, it's just interesting to see.
It seems like we're going to face a lot of the holding non-call penalties, the holding penalties throughout the season for some reason. It seems like that's what it's going to be with Hutch. I don't know. That's just my take on that.
We don't really get no calls, even in the Chiefs game. Like, look at the player that lined up offside the whole game. He never got called. Right. Look at the Seattle game where they got all them. They never didn't call no holdings. Detroit always don't ever get called, but everything get called on us. Like, I don't know. It seemed like the ref just nitpick was.
I will say I think it is a little better this season. Just from my observation, it seems like we're getting more calls or less calls, however you want to take it, our way. But you know, this holding thing is becoming ridiculous. Like, Hutch seems like he's being held every single game to me.
That spin move he did on Dude Day to get the sack.
Oh my God.
That was beautiful.
That was sweet.
Came in, hit the spin move. Yeah. Then he had the force fumble in the fumble record. Yeah, Hutch had a good game today. He showed
some things. For sure.
Where you go?
He gone.
I'm back in.
So how was the tailgate today?
Awesome. We had a beautiful tailgate. Met up with a lot of people that you know, the type of people you know on Facebook and Twitter, but never meet them until you do. And then they come up to you and say, "Hey, I'm so and so," and they give you their Twitter feed or Facebook feed or whatever. And like, holy cow, I didn't know that was you, you know, whatever. So I had a lot of that today. It was fun tailgate.
I always love tailgating with you guys because I think you guys are just savages, number one. Number two, my cousin loves tailgating with you, so that's number two because that's who I go with most of the time. So, I mean, Neil, why didn't you go to the game today? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I was – only reason I came to Detroit because – my stepdad is in a group called the Ohio State Players, and they had a concert down at the Rock Hall. So I was up there for that. And I also wanted to catch, you know, ask people for interviews like what they thought the game was going to be. I didn't have tickets. That's what I was up there for. Oh, but anytime I get a chance to go to Detroit, it don't matter if it's the walk around, I'm going to take it. So that's why I went to Detroit.
Yeah, I thought today's game was just great for the fans because I thought last week there was a lot to be desired. I thought they left a lot of things on the field. I thought, like, when I went back on the tape and I rewatched on the All 22, one of the things I think that you guys can agree with, in my opinion here, is the turnovers killed the Lions last week, and they didn't turn over the ball as much this week. I know they had the interception, but that was kind of like that was kind of Jared Goff getting pressured. But overall, like, I thought they did a better job protecting the football, and I thought the defense obviously played a huge role in today's game. We already went over that, but what's your grand takeaway of today's game? I'll go with you, Detroit Don, first.
Well, I just think it's a nice bounce back win. I mean, we really needed this. We had talked about this at tailgate. Like, what if we walk out of this game with another loss? How would this, like, as the fan base, how would this be spun and this and that? I know it's a marathon. The NFL season's a marathon. But for just the average day Joe, how are you going to walk out of that stadium with another loss? This was just a great bounce back win. And I thought we were pretty dominant in it, to be honest.
You go, Neil.
What I took away from today was that everybody thought the season was over when CJ was gone. Like when they found out we got to just believe in this coaching staff and the players that we got on this team. Because, like, we got some dogs. Like, Ify Mainafalu, Tracy Walker, they stepped up and did their thing. With like, we just got to trust this process. Like, we really, like you said, we deeper than what we have ever been. And that's something I got to get used to. Like, it's just not our favorite player we went out on the field. It's who the coaches think. And obviously, this coaching staff know what they're doing because we're on the right path. So I just think we just got to trust in Jed and come on Brad Hopes. I got to learn how to do it. You know what I mean? But that's all I think. We got a solid team.
Yeah, and I want to read you with this stat for me. This is the Lions PR posted this just a couple minutes ago, but they said the Lions had six different players record at least one sack in today's game, marking the most players with a sack in a team history since 1991. We all know what happened in 1991. That was a great year.
Playoffs.
Now, I wasn't alive. I know that makes Detroit Don feel old.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
But this is also the first time the Lions have had combined 7 sacks and 11 tackles for loss in a single game since October 31st, 2010. So obviously the defense did its job. That's my takeaway from today. I know Tyler had some takeaways. I don't know where he went, but just a great dominant victory by the Detroit Lions.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but where I was at in 1991 was Desert Storm. I got back after Desert Storm, followed that tail end of that season, and I had this guy I was stationed with. I didn't like this guy, but he was a Buffalo fan, and the last game of the year, we bet a case of beer on the Lions beating Buffalo Bills, and I won it.
No, that's what I'm talking about right there. Anytime you can get free beer, that's always a good time. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
hey, Detroit Don, thank you for your service. You the man. So that's what people need to know.
Thank you.
And if they don't know who Detroit Don is, well, then you're not really a Lions fan, because you know they are that whole tailgating crew. They are quite the character. So it's great to have him on. It's great to have Neil on. I enjoyed the podcast today. You guys have any closing thoughts that you guys want to throw out there? I'll let you at the floor.
Hey, let's fucking go. Let's go to get it on this season. Let's keep rolling. I can't wait for Thursday night. We're going to stop those guys.
Man.
Tundra!
I got a question. What y'all think the keys for us to beat Green Bay is?
Is Aaron Jones playing? Because that's a huge. But if they do what they did to Bijan Robinson Day, they're gonna win. Because my philosophy is this: the Green Bay Packers wouldn't have won this game today if the Saints Derek Carr didn't get hurt. Period. End of story. Because they were clowning them for a while, and then when Derek Carr got hurt, you could tell that team went into a total panic mode, because Jameis Winston turned into a total ghost. I know he's all about eating the W's, but he was about to eat an L, because he was nowhere near the quarterback that he was supposed to be. And I think that this game being on a short week kind of benefits the Lions in particular, because we can get a little bit healthier moving towards like the Carolina game. But I think that, like, a guy like Taylor Decker, he could be back. Kirby Joseph could potentially be back. Dave Montgomery could potentially be back. You got all these guys come back. That's a great thing for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I think we just need to do is keep that pressure on Jordan Love. The same pressure we had on Ritter today, we need to do the same thing.
If you have the same pressure that you had against Desmond Ritter, against Jordan Love, you're going to win that game. You might blow him out. That's my opinion. Yeah. Because Jordan Love, the one thing that you've seen against Atlanta, when they got pressure on Jordan Love, he really went into his own kind of like shell of himself. So I thought it was very interesting that they won today. Obviously, they beat the New Orleans Saints, but without Derek Carr, that's a pretty. I mean, it's any win's a good win in the NFL. Obviously, we're not gonna tell anybody that their win is not valid or whatever. But when you look at it, like having Derek Carr leave that game, that's kind of like a bummer for the Saints, because they feel like they got cheated. But Green Bay got to win. So, and they go play Detroit. They play Detroit on Thursday, and that's going to be a good game between both two teams that are good. These are the only two teams that are contending for the NFC North. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you guys, but early in the season, I told people, I was like, look, if you have confidence in the Bears, you're kind of a dumbass. If you have confidence in the Vikings, you're kind of a dumbass, because – the Vikings don't have a defense. The Bears, they just got shelled on national TV, which was America's game of the week. Like, what a crappy game of the week. And if you guys weren't watching football, the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Arizona Cardinals. So that's pretty crazy. So it's a good win for us, and we got to get back there on Thursday, and we're gonna get back to it. And obviously, they're going to try to go in. Dan Campbell is going to get that team fired up, because it's going to be on prime time.
And then, we've been owning the Packers lately, so.
And I did hear from people, if you guys don't have Amazon Prime, I think it'll be on the local markets on Fox.
That's what I heard.
That's good for the fans that don't want to do this whole streaming bullshit, because it's kind of stupid. But this was a great podcast. I appreciate you guys for coming on. And Sunday football is coming on. We got the Vegas Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. So.
Let's do this again.
Oh, yeah, for sure, Detroit Don. And, Neil, thank you for coming on. And
I got a new mic. You can hear me now.
This will be for you guys that are listening on Facebook Live. This will be on Facebook Live, obviously, and YouTube. But this will also be podcasted through our Detroit Lions News podcast. So if you guys want to go down and download it, you can go do that and catch the whole episode. This is Detroit Lions News podcast, Detroit Lions News show on the Detroit Lions News. And Darcy is not here today because he's with Mark Schmidt, the former Lion. So we are going to see you guys next week. Actually, we will see you Tuesday because we have the game preview for the Lions versus the Packers. Me and Tyler will be breaking it down. We will see you guys next week as we break down the Packers and the Lions. Hopefully we get the dub. We'll see you guys next week.